there. Welcome to MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, and Tim Kearns is with us. He is our analyst and our Goodwill ambassador, among other things. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. And, of course, Bill Newell anchoring just about everything all the time. Tim, how are you?
I'm good, Rick. 1 week removed from the last time we spoke, and survived the storm, getting ready for the next little blow through.
Well, it is New England, and it's funny. I was watching last night. I think we got maybe 5 inches in Gloucester, and I was watching. I think it was Channel 5, and AJ Burnett. We know AJ very well, and among others, and. You know, he's a good guy, but I'm watching all these guys out there like it's Armor Frickin' Geddon. Just, you know, well, we're on the pike and it's snowing and, you know, well, we're in Woodson, Woodcock or whatever the hell it is. You know, it's, come on, man. We live in New England. We had 5 to 7 inches of snow. I don't get it, Tim. I don't understand the priorities here with this, splash. Did you watch any local news last night?
No. I watched the game and I went to bed. As soon as it was over, I went to bed.
All right, let's talk about the game. Tom Brady, 5 MVP awards for the Super Bowl, 7 Super Bowl wins, 10 appearances. He's been in almost 20% of all the Super Bowls ever played. Your assessment of his performance last night and maybe your assessment of the game.
Well, his performance was better than his performance against Green Bay in the championship game. His first half was atmospheric. He hit 80% of his passes. He had 3 touchdown passes, the first time that had been done in Super Bowl history, so another one of the books for Tommy Title. He was cool, calm, collected the entire way. His offensive line did a great job of protecting him, giving him time to throw. As I said, the game was going to come down to, could the Tampa Bay defense stop Mahone and the Kansas City offense? Well, they didn't stop them. They built a brick wall that they couldn't get over, around, or even under. They harassed Mahomes like he had not been harassed in any of his prior games. He wasn't able to set up. He wasn't able to really find good throwing lanes for the majority of the game. So they did what they had to do. Brilliant scheming on the offensive end. They went to pitch and putt offense rather than trying to go and throw the big bomb. You know, he threw a couple of them just to keep him honest during the course of the game. But other than that, it was run the ball. This looked like the Patriots 2 years ago. It was run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And then throw the little dink passes and let the talented receivers do the rest. That was like watching a primetime Patriots offense in action. That's all they did. And defensively, they went back to what New York did against the Patriots in 07 and 2010. They went after, with just the defensive line, they went after Mahomes. They kept the linebackers dropping. They had the secondary back deep to prevent any kind of long bombs. They could have kept everything in front of them. It was one of the most well-thought-out offensive and defensive game plans in Super Bowl history. It was so well balanced. I mean, you keep Kansas City out of the end zone. Out of the end zone, they had 3 field goals. Unbelievable.
Well, I was saying,
and then they started to lose composure on the defense, and they just kept committing stupid penalties. And I always have said they hold like nobody's business. And they got caught yesterday. They called it yesterday. All the clutching and grabbing. And it finally came back to cost them a game. And it did cost them. It gave extended Tampa Bay drives. And so, you know, everything went their way, Tampa Bay's way, throughout the game. So people want to cry about the calls against Kansas City. No, those are calls that should have been made all year long.
Well, I remember saying last night, you know, it was just my wife and Caitlin in the living room, and I remember saying, you know, you'll trade field goals for touchdown any day, and that has been the Patriots' way. But I think you hit on two things, Coach. I think first, well, maybe I don't think you mentioned it, but I think Mahomes was hurt, and I think he was hurt bad. But I also think he made two of the most spectacular passes I have ever seen in my 60 years of watching football on TV. Two of the most spectacular passes. Both of them hit their receivers right in the hands. You know what I'm talking about? And they dropped them.
It was amazing to watch it. And again, he is just so athletically gifted. And again, for me, you know, I've been telling neighbors that I've talked about during the week. I take it back to all the baseball that he's played, playing shortstop and throwing on the run and throwing off the backboard, throwing off balance and learning how to make accurate throws. I mean, I didn't expect either of those to be on target, and yet both of them were. Are you kidding me?
What was amazing is that he was airborne almost parallel to the ground on both of those. And one of those, he just about had hit the ground. How the hell he got that off? And Tim, the angle he throws at, and it's a perfect spiral, 30, 40 yards downfield. And it hits the receiver right in the hands, both of them. And they dropped it. Those are the two of the most spectacular plays I've ever seen. And, I can't wait to see Mahomes get healthy and see what he's going to do. On the other side, on reflection today, Tim, going over the whole thing, and you described the game, I think in a nutshell perfectly. It was the game plan, the Tampa Bay D and so on, and the toughness of Tampa Bay and all these moving parts and of the puzzle that Brady helped get in there. But you know, Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh before that, all these guys, it's an all-star team. But I gotta say, on reflection, Brady was almost perfect last night.
Yeah. The running game was so effective, it made that short passing game, the intermediate passing game, because he didn't throw even that many intermediate passes. It just opened it up because Kansas City, the linebackers had to check up, and so there was that area behind him that was wide open. And he just kept dumping it, or, you know, Kansas City would try to get pressure, and he just dumped out to the back coming out of the backfield, and it just gave them that opening. And kudos to both running backs for Tampa Bay. They ran hard. They ran straight ahead all night long to that defensive line for Kansas City. And they just simply shredded it.
As they were saying last night, it's Tampa Bay now. It's you know, they've taken it away from Boston. they've got the Stanley Cup. They almost got the World Series, and now they've got the NFL. So man, that's really something, something to behold. Tim, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We have several guests here. We're going to check in with both Marblehead hockey coach Chris Wells coming up and Peabody High School girls basketball coach Stanley McKean. Coach McKean has a game as we speak, so we talked to him a little bit earlier. Later on, we'll check in with sports historian and golf writer Gary Larrabee, sports journalist Mike Grenier, and Gloucester Times sports editor Nick Kukuru. So please stay with us, and we're going to take our first break and have our interviews coming right up. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night, and a little cold out there, a little calm, and a little more snow headed for the East Coast here tomorrow. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Andersen is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Andersen windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Alrighty, first chance we've had to talk with Marblehead High School hockey coach Chris Wells this season. And coach, just before we went on air, we're talking about how things are a little bit different this year, yes?
Yeah, they've been extremely different. You know, more of the off-ice stuff, is a lot of the stuff has changed as regards to benches and locker rooms and everything. And, you know, once the kids get on the ice, you know, they have to wear masks. But the hockey's been pretty much, you know, what it has been in the past.
Well, I get that, and we can talk about that in a second here. But that said, you don't have a place to practice. You don't have home anymore, so how's that working out?
You know, I guess we kind of got lucky. You know, we were able to secure enough morning time at Lynn and some Sunday afternoon practices before, like, games started at Revere. So those have kind of been our quote-unquote home rinks this season. So it's been fine. We've been able to get on the ice, you know, 3-4 times a week, you know, before we started playing. And, you know, now we've got games rolling, but we've been about 2 practices per week. So
mm-hmm.
We've been getting almost the same amount of ice time as we would in a normal year. I know it's a little inconvenience as far as drives are concerned for everybody, but, you know, we've gotten through it.
Yeah, and the dressing thing, I mean, when you play pickup hockey, you don't have a dressing room. Usually, sometimes you have to go dressed anyway. So, I mean, the kids, they've been pretty good about that, I think. And, the only difference, talking with coaches, some of the coaches are missing the locker room culture in that the kids can sort of bond together, but also the coaches can get a feel for the team type thing. Do you notice any difference there?
Yeah, I mean, from a coaching standpoint, I think the kids miss their actual bonding, you know, even away from the rink too. They would get together a lot, you know, do like meals and all
that. Good point, yeah.
Where they got to like hang out, relax without the coaches around. And you know, the attitude's been pretty good. It's just weird. You kind of show up to the rink, say maybe a couple of things to the kids before they go on the ice for a game, and then afterwards it's like, all right, I'll see you so and so. You know, so it's you know, the interaction before and after is really limited.
You've had some really good games. I mean, the Northeast Conference this year, at the top anyway, the top half has been pretty competitive all across the board, and nobody seems to have taken over a dominant position. And tell me, Coach, if you would, a little bit about the teams that you've sort of split with, you've won and lost with.
Let's see, with Winthrop, you know, we played them like back-to-back days. They played well against us. You know, they didn't, nothing flashy from the team. I think they positionally very well coached. Traditional, pretty tough team, work hard. You know, I give them a lot of credit. They looked really good against us, and we actually played them one more time. So kind of like a little season series there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Beverly, we just won one yesterday. We lost to them last week, and you know, last week in the first game, they played really hard. They played physical. They kind of, in the third period, took it to us. You know, I think it was one of those games where we kind of thought maybe we just step on the ice and we're going to win. And we played them yesterday. I know the Dallas were a little, like, wanted maybe a little revenge from last weekend. Came out a little sloppy in the first period, but from second and third period, I pretty much thought we controlled most of the game. So it was good. It was good to turn around there. You know, I've seen Masco once. They're deep. We played great against them and beat them. So, you know, right now it's like these last 2 weeks, everybody's got games just jammed in there. So a lot can change, like, on a daily basis.
Well, the other impressive win was over Gloucester, because they're a tough team and they've got some high-powered scoring kids.
Yeah, I mean, I guess over the last couple of years, we've done fairly well against them. You know, we've just been able – it was a good game. I think – we just kind of jumped on a couple points during the game where they might have had a couple bad shifts going, and we popped in a few real quick, and that kind of gave us, you know, the cushion and the edge as the game went on.
Well, it is a wild schedule. You, as you said, you're packing in the games. You've got a game here as we speak on Monday evening, and that is, let's see, against Swampscott. That's in Lynn. Is that correct?
That's in Lynn. You know, and then we get we got Saugus on Wednesday at Saugus, and then we're play Gloucester again Saturday.
That's crazy. Yeah.
In Gloucester.
All right, coach. You got to tell me about the team. Who the guys who are doing it for you right now?
Well, it started at the top. You know, Will Scholl, great kid, great player. As everybody knows, you know, I get compliments on him from all places, refs, parents, coaches, everywhere. Like, you know, he's awesome. He's like, you know, the big go-to guy in the team. Back on D, you know, I got two captains back there, Charlie, Titus, and JT Monahan. We've come a long way in their careers, worked hard. You know, get a lot of respect in the locker room. You know, also Aiden Jalbert back there. He's kind of been my all-around best defenseman. He's you know, loves the game. He's really got a lot stronger over the past year, and it was nice to see. He looks great, and he's actually been improving throughout the season, which is nice to see. You know, forwards up front, you know, I got a lot of talent up there. And one kid that really has been sticking out huge is Aiden Ryan, kind of a, you know, third line guy, but really like works his tail off, creates plays that, you know, kind of only coaches or people that are really watching the game can see. He actually got two goals last night, which is great to see. And the team really sees his work ethic coming through, seeing what he's doing in the game. So that's good to see, too, as a coach.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Coach, because sometimes we overlook that. And, you know, we haven't been able to get to a lot of games this year and pick out. Sometimes you see a kid who has a really good, strong night. He may not be the strongest guy, the best guy in the team, but every now and then he shines. And I'm glad you pointed that out because, as you said, sometimes only coaches notice that. And that's really important. And it also means something, I think, you know, to the kids, when they see that kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, but dedication or discipline, I guess, is maybe another word. So, sounds like you have a pretty well-balanced team in terms of, young guys and seniors.
Yeah. I mean, this year with the whole number situation, I only took on one freshman. And, you know, I had to have pretty good sized freshman class, but it was just that, you know, I thought this one kid, Hogan Secchi, I knew right away he'd probably be able to step in. There was a couple others floating around that, you know, maybe in past years I would have them up a little more, see how they work throughout the season, but I think, you know, this year, you know, just kind of bring up the guys that I know that are going to get some playing time. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to bring some freshmen up and just have them kind of stand off to the side the entire season, you know, so at least at JV level he's going to get some playing time and, you know, kind of get used to the whole system and the routine of getting up early and, you know, kind of the grind of the season.
You know, I'm looking at the standings in the North and the South, and the North is just absolutely wild. Swampscott having its troubles this year. Saugus is winning. I mean, it's a very competitive league, and I don't know if Swampscott numbers are down. I haven't talked to Coach Fair yet, but do you have a scouting report on the Big Blue?
You know, I haven't. They've been up to the San Francisco quarter, but I haven't really seen them skate. It sounds like, you know, I know they lost some of the better goal-scoring players. I've kind of picked up that maybe their goalie's pretty steady. But the thing I've seen, it's a rivalry game. I know it's like a different year and everything, but like kids, once they get in the game, it's just like, when they drop the puck, it's like, okay, well, here we go. It's like, I don't care what the records are, you know, and they played us extremely tough each year. So expect like a pretty tough game. It's not going to be, when you're getting, like, you can't just step on the ice and think like, oh, this game's over. Like, you need to outwork the other team and do the little things to win the game.
I know. I appreciate that, Coach. Talking with football coach Paul Ingram over the years, it didn't matter who they played. They prepared every team as though it were the most important game of the season. And actually, you sort of have to take that approach this year with the way the schedule is, not knowing, you know, how people are going to be and so on. But you guys have had a pretty steady schedule. You haven't had any postponements, have you?
We had one early in the season, but as far as like, we got on the ice when we were allowed to. We haven't had any stoppage as far as like the school stopping us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very lucky with avoiding any type of, you know, COVID sickness or anything. You know, I'm kind of here in the last 2 weeks. I just hope like we can get through. you know, the one game against Danvers that got postponed, it is rescheduled for next week.
Good. Yeah.
So with the original 14 games that we were supposed to play, we're on track to play them all, which is amazing. I didn't think we'd get to that point.
I know. That is awesome. Final question, Coach. I see the Cape Ann League is contemplating tournament playoffs here in basketball and hockey, I believe, both. Is there any chance the NEC might do that?
I haven't heard anything. I don't know how that would go. I guess it was pretty much in the beginning of the year, it was pretty much saying we're not doing anything postseason. It'd be fun. I've kind of like molded over my head. It just kind of,
yeah,
how like close all these teams are in our conference. It'd kind of be a little fun, like sort of a little more of a finale to the season. But at the same time, you know, at least we had a season. So.
Yeah. I was just thinking a round robin or a double elimination thing, you know.
Yeah, it would be exciting to see.
That would be cool. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're heading out to the gym as we to the rink here. And good luck. We'll talk in a week or so.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
You too.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Really happy now to be joined by Peabody High School girls basketball coach Stanley McKean. Coach, welcome back to MSO.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Coach, I always, I'm trying to make the rounds this season with basketball because Bill Newell generally handles all of our basketball, boys and girls, and I take care of the hockey. But Bill's off this season, and it's been a strange year. And I wonder, Coach, where you guys were off to such a good start, if you could maybe let me know a little bit about how preseason went and then how you kind of got into the season in terms of what's been the same or what's been different from years past and before the game, the season begins.
Well, we actually were in quarantine way back in December till the end of the month, so we actually didn't get really started till the 29th or 30th of December is when we started tryouts and so forth. So we've been a little bit behind. Thankfully, we've been playing ever since. We've had no issues, but it's definitely a whole different situation. I coach boys soccer in the fall, and the fact that we were outdoors, and we actually had some quarantine once where we lost a couple of weeks. I was very nervous about going inside and playing basketball. I just think it was, you know, more susceptible to things happening. But we've been, other than the beginning when we had tryouts, just before tryouts, everything so far has been going very well. Protocol in the gym is very good as far as doing the right thing, wiping things down and seats and balls and everything else. And masks and obviously keeping each team separated when we are in the gym. So it certainly has been different, to say the least.
Before season starts, I'm sure that you have things that you think about, especially at night. You wake up, you write stuff down and say, okay, got to remember to do this, got to remember to do that. But it gets a little more routine the longer you coach, of course. Going into this year, though, Coach, what's funny is coaches that I've chatted with, they have such concern for the health and well-being of the kids that maybe sometimes some of that coaching stuff that they might have focused on in terms of a new season gets sort of put on the back burner. Did you find any of that? You know, in other words, was it a little stressful going into this?
Oh, absolutely. Very concerned for the kids and obviously contact tracing and so forth. I mean, trying to be as careful as possible at tryouts and at practices and focusing more on the health and well-being than really probably on basketball itself, knowing that it was, you know, a non-competitive season, so to speak, and hoping to get in as many games as we possibly could without hopefully being sent into quarantine.
At 6-1, you guys are off to a great start. And Winthrop, Masconomen, as you've told me, one loss apiece. You guys have won. maybe a thumbnail of how the season has gone, who the challenges are that your kids have met.
Well, we've played Winthrop twice. We beat Winthrop in Winthrop a couple weeks ago, and then they beat us this past Thursday night in our place. We had a terrible fourth quarter and scored 2 points, and we turned the ball over a lot. Just was not a good night, to say the least. But we bounced back on Saturday. It was our senior night against Saugus, and we beat Saugus on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 6-1. We've got 5 games left. We're playing a 12-game season. Hopefully all goes well. And, you know, we make the best of what we have.
I want to ask you about a two-point quarter. Do you find, first of all, they're far and few between. They're rare. Even when maybe your kids aren't as talented as they had been or are now. But do you find something like that, it's sort of one thing happens, then another thing happens, and it's kind of contagious the way the whole thing kind of falls apart, more than or along with the effort the other team's putting in?
Well, absolutely. And we turned the ball over an awful lot in that fourth quarter, even calling timeouts and trying to get – and the ball just wasn't falling. I mean, we were shooting – shots were not good. I think alone in that fourth quarter, we turned the ball over like 9 times, and you're not going to win many ball games turning the ball over that much in a quarter. And unfortunately, it was the last quarter, and we actually had a 3-point lead going into the last quarter. So, frustrating.
Oh boy,
very frustrating.
What's the makeup of your team this year?
Well, I have 3 seniors. One, Amber Kirikopoulos, is our most productive senior. I mean, she's been a varsity player for 4 years. She's averaging right now 7.6 points a game and 12 rebounds a game. I mean, she's been the mainstay of our post players, to say the least. The other 2 seniors, Asia Alamonte, she's a forward also. She had a big game against Saugus on Saturday. She had 15 points. Played good, strong, consistent defense. And Kayla Bonfanti, who's a good defensive player. She's the 3rd senior. They've all played for 4 years in the system, and they will be graduating, and I certainly will be missing them when they leave. But we got a good nucleus. We have a young, basically young team. So it looks good for the future, and getting through this season here with, no tournaments or anything to look forward to. We're just kind of working on things and seeing what we can develop. But I have a 3 or 4 freshmen. I have 5 or 6 sophomores. So the future looks pretty good.
As a coach/educator, you have to, turn the page a little bit. Like, as you mentioned, no tournament, no state tournament, no playoffs, although the Cape Ann League is playing some, I guess they're going to do a little tournament of their own. I'm hoping, I wish the NEC could, but at any rate, Coach, the focus then changes a little bit, and it becomes, each game, I think, tends to take on a little bit more relevance in that, you know, especially with seniors, that this is it for these kids, so you've got to make good memories now.
Absolutely. And the 3 seniors I have are just, they're great kids. They enjoy the fact, they're disappointed that there is no tournament at the end of the year, but the fact that they're at least getting this winter season in is very important to them. And so far, so good, knock on wood, that continue and get the last 2 weeks of the season.
Absolutely. Hey, is there anything that replaces the spaghetti dinners that the kids can't have right now?
not that I know of. I'm sure the captains are very close, and I don't know. You know, I try not to get involved in that. No one is supposedly having any pasta dinners or anything like that. Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah. Well, we're on the right path. I know that. Coach, anything else you want to tell me about Peabody girls basketball? I did it again. 6-1, you guys are in the middle of it, and it is a very special season. What else might you want to mention?
Well, I think I'm blessed with a bunch of really good kids. As I said, freshmen and sophomores and 1 or 2 juniors. But, the chemistry is really good with the 12 girls. It really is, from top to bottom. They all get along well. And to me, as a coach, that's part of the battle. Chemistry is huge.
Absolutely. Well, you probably mentioned it. Who's up on Tuesday night?
We have Beverly on Tuesday night.
On Beverly. Okay. That home or away?
This is home.
Okay. All right, Coach, I appreciate it. Nice meeting you. I'm going to get more involved in this basketball stuff, I promise you. But thank you, and good luck, and stay safe, Coach.
Thank you very much for your time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Peabody High School girls basketball coach Stanley McKean. All right, thank you both. And it's Coach McKean who's headed off to practice tonight, and Coach Wells from Marblehead is actually playing Swampscott right now. And a couple of scores we have. Triton beat Newburyport 3-1. So each of those teams has the blemish on the other team's record. Triton is 5-1-1. Newburyport handing them their only loss and tie. Newburyport now is 7-1-1. Triton handing them their only loss and tie. St. John's Prep 4, BC High 2 in girls hockey. Newburyport 4, Medford, Malden 0, and Beverly Danvers 3, Gloucester 2. We are now joined by Gary Larrabee, an old friend and a solid voice to listen in here. How you doing, Gary?
Doing marvelously. How about you guys?
Marvelous. I'm well. I don't know about Tim.
I'm just here.
Okay. I don't know if he's all there, Gary, but he's there. So, Gary, more golf and Brooks Koepka, who was the man this weekend?
Well, Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson won the big tournament over in Dubai. Saudi Arabia, wherever the heck they call those weird countries over there where they have all the oil and a lot of sand. And the other big winner this weekend was, as you say, Brooks Koepka, who won for the second time at the Waste Management Tournament there in Phoenix after breaking a long winless drought. He's been injured quite a bit the last year and a half. So what this tells me, Tim, is that these two guys are getting geared up. Even though we're still 2 months away, there are going to be two factors, I would like to think, if the Masters come in April.
Yeah. I was thinking that as I was watching some of the action the last couple of rounds at the Get Wasted Open. And
that's pretty good. I like that. That's pretty good. That's a good line.
Thank
I like
you very
that.
Much. Every now and then, out of the mouths of babes.
There you go.
You know, that these guys, especially the big guys, and I think we talked about this about last week, was the manner in which they approach these tournaments is to tweak the game, to work on certain aspects of the game to get ready as they roll into the big part of the season, especially with the majors coming up, the Masters, to lead them off. And it was strange
and go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you're right. And these guys have their schedules. You know, guys like Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, these guys have won several, each won more than one major. And guys like Rory McIlroy, who was an all-serving this week in Phoenix. But Tony Finau and Justin Rose were finished near the top over in the other part of the world where they play this tournament. I guess it was in Saudi Arabia. They have a schedule down to the day between now and Masters Week. And granted, we still have a long ways to go, but these guys who have won majors before, they know how to get ready for the next one. And I think what we saw yesterday indicates that Johnson and Koepka are going to be two major forces to reckon with, especially with Koepka now back, seemingly fully recovered from his injury issues. And that should make for a fantastic week in April, especially if Tiger's back in the group. We haven't heard from Tiger, and there's no guarantee yet that Tiger will be even able to play because of his recent, procedure again on his back, but we're certainly hoping that Tiger will be there and should be exciting times coming.
Yeah, and looking at the way that Jordan Spieth finished up, he ended up tied for fourth, two shots off the winning margin. And again, I got another guy who won before who could be a big factor come April.
Oh yeah, but he hasn't won in almost 4 years, and he's been struggling big time. And he did say after he finished up yesterday that he was encouraged and granted, Augusta National is nothing like the course that Dustin Johnson won on or Brooks Koepka won on, but those guys are so good. If they can play well, if they're hitting the ball well and they're putting well, it won't matter what course they're playing now. As we move ahead and look ahead to the Masters, it should be lots of fun coming down these next couple of months.
Gary, I watched the Super Bowl ad, the ad for the Masters during the Super Bowl, and I didn't see a date on that. Is it solid? Is it scheduled for April again?
Yes. They're back to all the majors are back to a regular schedule this year. The Masters in April, the PGA in May, I believe down there in the Carolinas on the ocean there.
You had to say that, didn't you? Not Hilton Head.
I'm getting tongue tied, but that in South Colorado, right there on the ocean, they played it before.
That's Pine Bluff.
And then of course June, we've got the U.S. Open it back in San Diego at Torrey Pines, and then we got the, long-awaited Open Championship in July across the pond after they canceled last year.
Yeah, all right. What else is going on, Gare?
Well, we're just obviously happy to see the high schools trying to keep their seasons going, these winter seasons going, but I know there's a lot of concern out there about, maybe you guys have already talked about it tonight, what's going to happen with this February to April fall season getting going, and with this lousy weather, it doesn't bode well for soccer and football, that's for sure.
Well, we're getting into that, and on this post where we do this broadcast, the Salem News sports writers talk about it this weekend with Bill Newell. That's all up there, too. And, you know, it's hopeful. I've talked to one or two of the football coaches, and they're hopeful because, you know, winter sports has done pretty damn well. And everything is trending in the right direction, although I'm sure Tim probably has a counter-argument to that, Tim?
Well, you know, it is a pandemic.
It is a pandemic.
That's my one concern. You know, we've vaccinated a very small percentage of the population. You know, I keep looking at, you know, colleges and the pros that are having to cancel games and reschedule games because guys being identified with the virus, and it just, you know, it's driving crazy. The NFL got very lucky with their season that they didn't have, well, guys did show up with the virus, you know, there wasn't enough to cause any game cancellation. But I think with a large squad that they carried, it was easy to cover their tracks and keep guys on the field. But well, that's my concern.
But
you know?
Golf has rolled along pretty well.
How much is actually accurately being recorded of numbers of students that have have been identified? I know that's a problem.
Yeah, but that's college, Tim. And the high schools are keeping a close watch on
numbers
it.
Numbers from the local high schools and other public schools. We're not getting accurate numbers, I don't believe.
Well, okay, so that's a conspiracy theory, Tim? Come on.
No, it's...
All right. Well, Gary, golf has done pretty well despite this, and I'm hopeful. I mean, I know what Tim is saying, and Tim has always erred on the side of caution, and he has the kids, obviously the kids' safety at heart for sure. And I'm just making fun here. I'm nervous, but I'm also optimistic.
No, it is a very, very serious issue, and hopefully they'll proceed logically and sensibly these next few months.
Yeah.
But getting back to the golf thing, I'm wondering when Tom Brady will play his first round of golf in the off season,
and how he'll do. what'd you think?
Goodness.
You know, Tim went over this, analyzed the game yesterday, and I'm just, you know, I'm a Patriots fan, guys. I'm a Patriots fan. I'm not turning in my Patriots card. I didn't follow Brady during the regular season. My jaw dropped when I found out that he had 40 touchdown passes in the regular season. And what he's done again, I mean, it's just, this is just, we're still in the presence of incredible greatness.
Unprecedented greatness. And the fact remains, the timing was great. They've been 8 in a row. They finished up winning 8 in a row, 9 in a row, and tremendous job with Todd Bowles on the defensive side of the ball. That was as big a story, I thought.
Yes.
And then what Brady did, the fact that
yes.
helped Patrick Mahomes to 9 points. And,
yep.
But I loved it, guys, because, you know, Kansas City was getting too big for its own britches. And they're already thinking, talking about being a dynasty, and they only won one lousy Super Bowl, because this is the third time Brady has prevented a team from becoming a dynasty, which would mean just two consecutive wins. And of course, you guys know the last team to win two consecutive Super Bowls were Brady's Patriots in 03 and 04.
Yep.
And Brady's just continuing to rewrite the record books, and the sky's the limit for this kid.
It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, Gary, one of the things about Brady that there are people that address, but I don't think enough, is the level of confidence that he inspires in the guys around him.
No question. I agree 100%.
That team, minus Brady, Gronk, Brown, was a 5-win team last year.
7-9.
Okay. And he turns it around. They go 11-5, and they run the table against, on the road, against three former Super Bowl MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
And they played, I mean, my brother-in-law, talking this morning, he said that at the end of the NFC Championship game, there was a guy in the Tampa Bay locker room crying. He was so... He was so emotional about having won the NFC crown. And Brady went up to him and got in his face and asked him, "What are you crying for? We got one more game to play." And the guy sucked it up. And one of the other guys in the team who saw it said, "You know, I was on the verge of tears too, but I heard him." I said, "Oh, I'm not crying." And so for Tom, there's one mission. And that's the Super Bowl. And he wasn't going to let anybody stand in the way, anybody celebrate too early. It was like, this is what you've got to do to win this game.
And right now, Tim, he's got a terrific group around him, and they can keep this team together for another couple of years. They have a chance to win another couple of Super Bowls. Although right now, Kansas City, of course, is the early line favorite in Vegas to win it next year, but I wouldn't count out Tampa Bay if Tom Brady is throwing the football for them next year.
Hey, boys, is next Monday a holiday? Is that
yes.
All right, President's Day. Okay, so I'm not sure. The jury's out on that one, but I'm thinking we'll probably do this again.
It is, but it's President. But it's President's Day minus Donald Trump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, that's it. All right. Gary, thank you, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a wonderful week, guys. Stay well.
Be safe.
Have a good week, Gary.
All right, that's Gary Larrabee, a golf writer, a sports writer, sports journalist, an amazing, amazing encyclopedia of sports knowledge, both local, regional, and national, and also, of course, a sports historian. All right, Tim, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll come back with Mike Grenier, and then hopefully we'll have Nick Kukuru on board in just a little while as well. So stand by. Let's take a break, and we'll be back if I can find the right stuff to do here. I think it's this one. And that's usually what I ask. I rely on Tim to do, but he's not here. He's there.
Every week you blame me for your...
Incompetence?
There you go. That's the word I can use.
You got it. Totally. Totally. I need you here, Coach. I can't wait for this thing to get back to Norman. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All righty then, I am back with Tim Kearns, and we're joined now by sports journalist Mike Grenier. Mike, welcome back, man. What's the first thing on your mind here, sports wise?
Come on, it's like the wind chill is like 15 degrees today, and but yet we're feeling warm because of what you know. As my ex colleague and good friend Gary Larrabee, what you guys were talking about because of what Tom Brady and the formerly forlorn Tampa Bay Bucks were able to do. You know, like I think I mentioned last week, guys, that I have two close friends who are season ticket holders down there, and they're just beside themselves today. And I'm thinking this is what we got to do for 20 years, you know, celebrate a Super Bowl every other year or so.
When I was in Philadelphia a couple of years, after Philadelphia won the Super Bowl, they were so excited down there. And I said, yeah, we share. They were so excited. But, you know, what Tim said just a minute ago just blew my mind about the guys in the locker room so overcome with emotion about winning the NFC and Brady just bringing them back to reality and focusing them. That's incredible. But then doing it. I mean, that's amazing.
It is. It is. And, you know, obviously because they have been such a downtrodden team for so long, for at least for the players who have been with Tampa Bay for a few years, just to have a winning season was good. And then to win the NFC title game at Lambeau Field in Green Bay and beating the MVP, regular season MVP, Aaron Rodgers. For those guys, sure, they were touched by a lot of emotion. But Brady kind of reined them back in and said, okay, guys, we're not done yet. Mm. We're not done yet because Brady's been through it 9 previous times. You know, I mean, you know, so it's amazing the focus that he was able to gather on that team and to follow through with a I mean, obviously, this is by far the biggest margin of victory of any of Tom Brady's 7 championships.
Yeah.
You know, 10 points was the previous one, 22 points in this one. So they really did the job on both sides of the ball. And, you know, guys, I don't know if anyone's mentioned this so far in the previous 45, 50 minutes here, but part of this, too, was the breakdown of Kansas City's discipline. 11 penalties, 120 yards in penalties, a complete breakdown of composure at key points in the game. And I thought, as soon as I saw that Tyrann Mathieu in Brady's face when they were losing and running off the field at halftime after picking up a 15-yard penalty, still out of control, to me, I said, well, Tampa Bay's got them right where they want them because the Kansas City Chiefs, defending champions, could not focus on the task at hand. They were so caught up in the penalties and the frustration of not being able to move the ball or being able to stop the Tampa Bay offense that they were just lost the complete focus that they had.
I want to mention this because I didn't mention it to Tim, and I want to right now. I mean, I mentioned the fact I think Mahomes was hurt and really, really hurt. Yeah. But also, I wonder how much the Andy Reid's son's tragedy there involved over the weekend affected his coaching and the team, because I would have put my money on Andy Reid beating Bruce Arians any day of the week.
Yeah, well, it seems that, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because during the course of the week, I felt that early in the week there was a heavy sentiment that the Kansas City Chiefs would win fairly easily. And then after Britt Reid, that's Andy Reid's son, was involved in that accident, which, from what I understand, it's a 5-year-old girl who's still in critical condition, okay?
Yeah.
And, of course, he has a litany of DUI accusations over the years, all right? And I felt the surge of optimism going Tampa Bay's way after that happened. And, of course, Britt Reid, who was an assistant coach with his father, did not make the trip, obviously, to the Super Bowl, and he has some serious charges to face. So, but, you know, I got to say this in terms of Andy Reid, Rick, because 12 years ago he had another son who died of a drug overdose, okay? And I distinctly remember when Andy Reid was coaching the Philadelphia Eagles, they ordered him to take time off because both of his sons were involved with substance abuse. And Andy Reid took about, like, 72 hours off. He only took, like, 3 or 4 days and then came back to the team as if the problem was solved. I remember thinking back then, this was, like, in 2012, what father does that? He just takes 2 or 3 days off from work and thinks he's going to solve his son's drug problems? I didn't get it. Obviously, we don't know. We're not privy to the family and the long history of the family. But to me, I felt that, like, he was neglecting his kids at that point because it was more important for him to coach his NFL team. I don't know. That seems harsh.
Yeah.
But in light of everything that's happened the last several years with one kid dying of an overdose, and this other son now involved in an accident where he might be charged with, you know, perhaps, you know, manslaughter or something, if this 5-year-old dies. I don't know what's going on there, but there's some heavy, heavy-duty business going on in the Andy Reid family.
Well, let's turn our attention to the Celtics. And, Tim, I don't know if you've been watching them. I've only watched a little bit of a game here and there. Have you been watching them at all, Tim?
Bits and pieces, but it's like watching a yo-yo. I think Mike would agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, some days they're up, and then other days they're down. And it's like, who's showing up today?
Yep. And
it's,
you
like,
know,
it's... And the Mariners, they headed for a 500 season because they'll win, then they'll lose. They'll win, and they'll lose.
Yeah. Of course, we have to take into account, right, Tim, and you know this as well as Rick does, that they're missing Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's missed the last two or three games. So that's a big part, you know, big part of your offense and a big part of your defense, respectively. But you're right about the yo-yo aspect. I mean, on this five-game road trip, and admittedly a five-game West Coast road trip is arduous for any team, but the way they have, you know, they lose to a team that you'd think they'd beat, Sacramento, then they beat a team that you'd think they'd lose to, the Clippers, who have one of the best records in the NBA, and then they go to Phoenix, a team that's been, you know, pretty decent this year, and Kemba Walker shoots 4-for-20, and they lose. So I think Kemba Walker is a huge question mark right now, the way he's playing. He's only been back for 3 or 4 games, but his game has been very erratic.
Mike, can I ask you about his shooting style? Because I hadn't really noticed before, but I did watch him the other night, that game that they lost. And his shooting style from way outside just looks so weird. He looks like he's just, I don't know, out of sync and just flailing it up there. But that may be his style. Can you tell? Can you address that?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the way Lonzo Ball shoots the ball, you'd think he'd never make a basket. But he's, you know, and he had a reputation as a bad shooter when he first came into the league with the Lakers. But he's developed into actually a pretty decent shooter. His numbers are kind of average or a little, you know, with other NBA players. You're right about Kemba. He's got a weird shooting style, but it's been good for him for 8 or 9, 10 years.
Okay.
So he's not going to change anything.
Yep.
But I'm more worried
about... Greg, I have the answer to that question.
Yes.
Cam Newton is his shooting coach.
You know, it's funny. I did some numbers tonight. Tom Brady passed for 5,600 and some odd, almost 5,700, almost 5,700 yards, right? And he had 50 touchdown passes, 50 counting the playoffs, and 15 interceptions, and of course a 15-5 record. And they went 8-0 in their last 8 games, and he wins his 7th Super Bowl. Now Cam Newton had 8 touchdown passes as opposed to 50. He had 10 interceptions as opposed to 15 by 50. And he threw for 2,600 yards, which is 3,000 fewer yards than Tom Brady. So I call it the goat and the donkey. You know?
Jeez. Oh,
goat,
man.
And the donkey.
What numbers? Wow.
It's just the numbers are so out of whack. It shows you how lacking the Patriots were throughout the season.
But those numbers for Tom Brady overall, Mike, would be MVP for a guy in his 20s, late 20s, early 30s for a 15-1 team. That's nuts.
It is nuts. And, let's take it even to comparison to the rookie of the year. And I really like this kid, Justin Herbert, with the San Diego, with the Chargers, the L.A. Chargers, formerly the San Diego Chargers. He set a rookie record with 31 TD passes. He's a heck of a quarterback. And I don't remember how many interceptions he had, but he had 31 TD passes. Brady had like 40 during the regular season.
Yes.
At the age of 43.
Yes.
So it's even more amazing when you shed some light by showing you how Brady compares to the young guys, the older guys. Obviously, he out-dueled, you know, the guy who became the MVP this year, Aaron Rodgers, at Lambeau Field in the NFC Championship game. The guy just keeps rolling along, and he's not talking about retiring, and he's in great shape. And Gronk has said, Gronkowski, who of course had a great game yesterday, said that he sees no reason why he's not coming back next year. So, you know, he's got a new life going for him here because Brady said, hey, maybe we can do this again. It's astonishing what these two guys have done since leaving New England. And, you know, I don't blame them for the reasons for leaving at all. You certainly rooted hard for them yesterday, and I think most Patriots fans probably felt the same way that maybe the three of us did in rooting for Tom Brady and Gronkowski and the Bucs.
Well, you know, Gary was saying that, you know, the Chiefs sort of got what was coming to them because, you know, they won one Super Bowl, and you think they had won seven or eight of them, how cocky they were. You know, and they were a dynasty, and they were this, and they were that. Well, you know, you won one, you know, and that doesn't qualify you for anything just yet. So, you know, then they get their heads literally handed to them.
Yes, by
the defense. And again, that's what I said had to happen, that the Tampa Bay defense had to stop Kansas City. And it's like, they didn't stop them. They just didn't let them out of the locker room.
That's right. And, you know, limiting that team to three field goals. And let's not forget, guys, just 2 years ago, because a lot of people right now are putting down Bill Belichick because he let Brady go and Brady had such a great year. But 2 years ago, the Rams were averaging 35, 40 points a game. And in the Super Bowl, it was a 13-3 final with the Patriots winning. The Patriots held them to 3 points. So let's not be too quick to knock Bill Belichick because in the Patriots dynasty, and like Tim, like you said, you know, people thinking the Chiefs had a dynasty going for winning one. In the Patriots dynasty, you knew they were going to lose it players. It was inevitable because of the salary cap. And Belichick managed that salary cap better than anybody ever could have, anybody else ever could have. And that's why they won the six titles. Because
they still continue to lose players that he had to replace. He had to go out and get other players. And, and Kansas City really didn't lose anybody from last year's team.
Yeah, but it will happen.
They lost no key players from last year's team.
But it will happen because Mahomes has an outrageous contract. I mean, a really massive contract.
Yeah, right.
And when the free agency comes to the players who are going to be free agents for Kansas City, they're going to walk unless Mahomes takes a severe pay cut.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Tampa Bay. You know, they lock everybody up.
Yep.
You know, and maintain the momentum. You know, you can convince the guy maybe to stay 1 year, but you're not going to do it for 2, 3, 4.
That's right. And that's why a lot of times you see teams are one and done in winning the Super Bowl. You know, whether it was the Denver Broncos or Russell Wilson did it once. And you can't keep the core guys together for more than a couple, 3 years. That's just the way the salary cap works. And it's the league is made for parity. And that's what makes Bill Belichick's accomplishment of winning six times incredibly, really remarkable, that he was able to change on the fly, change players every couple of years, and keep the team going as contenders, obviously until this past season.
All right, Mike, we got a few more minutes here, and I want to circle back to the Celtics if we could.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you see? I mean, I don't know when Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart are supposed to come back, but do you see improvement? Because I think Tim put his finger on it. I think we're all worried about a 500 season.
Oh yeah, I do think obviously they're going to. Jaylen Brown will be back. I think tomorrow night when they play the Utah Jazz have the best record in the NBA though.
Okay.
So it'll be tough to come back home with a 3-2 record, I think, on this road trip. But yeah, I do see them improving with Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown back. But you know, there's still some inherent problems there. I think you know we mentioned just the way that Kemba Walker's been playing. It's been so up and down. I think that's so unpredictable. The way the bench has been playing. Carson Edwards, for example, he got the start yesterday after scoring 16 points in the previous game. Well, yesterday he goes 1-for-6. And, you know, he gets a couple of points and that's it. They're so erratic in the bench area. I question their defensive commitment and toughness. I think, especially when Marcus Smart is not there. They're prone to giving up a lot of points when Marcus Smart isn't around. And, you know, and I include Jason Tatum in that group in terms of not making a full defensive commitment. There's a heavy offensive load on his shoulder, and he loves carrying that. But you also have to give full effort on defense. And Jason Tatum does not always do that. He's a little bit soft on defense. I don't mean to knock him because he really is one of the great players in the NBA. But I think he's got to give a little more effort on defense, and I think it's team-wide. They have to do it. Tristan Thompson, Tice, everybody. Because right now they are not a good defensive team. And if you're not a good defensive team, you're going to be inconsistent in your overall record.
Well, that's not a knock. That's a critique. Tim, final words with Mike?
Well, again, you know, with the talent that they have, and again, Mike really hit on it. We great players in the NBA today, and we have for a long time, by their offensive prowess, not their ability to play defense and to make a stop in a critical situation. The one guy who does get the chops for doing that is Marcus Smart. He gets as much praise for his defense, maybe more, than for his offense.
No question. No question. And guys, I think we should leave it with this comment. I was still concerned whether Tom Brady would get full credit for doing what he has until LeBron James tweeted that Brady was okay with him. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Once LeBron tweets that
that's it then.
I think that kind of that stamp of approval.
That's the imprimatur. Yeah, we're all set.
That's it. That's very important.
Okay, then. He's got more wins. He's got more Super Bowls than Pittsburgh, more Super Bowls than New England. But now he's got LeBron's stamp. So there we go.
Right. Well, guys, let's mention this very quickly. There was a lot of talk yesterday about how if Brady won, which he did, he would surpass Michael Jordan in championships. Michael Jordan had 6. Well, is everybody, and Rick, you love this, Bill Russell, 11 and 13 years.
I know.
A lot of national analysts do not know who Bill Russell is.
They never refer to that, and it blows me away. 11 out of 13. Come on.
You know, Mike, I have to tell you, my wife yelled at me last night while we were watching the game, right to the end of the game, because I dared to say, well, Bill Russell's got 11. Tom's got 7. What's the big deal? She got mad at me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very hard to win an NFL title because of all the injuries and all that stuff. But, yeah, let's not forget, Bill Russell, he's still the gold standard in terms of wins. And some of his teammates, Havlicek, 7 or 8 titles. Bob Cousy, those early years, he was with Russell the whole time. I mean, other guys have 7 or 8 wins. Sam, they were all up there with Russell in those early years. So, but people have gotten those generational players, I guess.
Well, the thing is, and of course, the media has been so involved now. And, you couldn't even see the Celtics on TV back in the day early on. They were only on radio, or you'd go to the Garden. But given everything, all things being equal, and the magnitude of what Brady has done, I don't think it can be understated. It's just amazing.
No, I completely agree. I mean, especially at his age, I mean, to still love the game the way he does, and to prepare the way he does, I think that's the standard that other players need to aspire to if they want to be as good as he is.
No
one will ever do that.
There have been guys, I think of Karl Yastrzemski, and I think of his commitment and dedication, but he couldn't win the championships like, and he couldn't carry everybody all the time. Not that Brady does that. I mean, it's a team sport. I get that. But it's just, boy, you put this in perspective with sports and with the athletes who are on the field. Have you seen the size of those guys, Mike? You've been in an NBA locker room.
Right.
They're huge.
Oh, yeah. The game has changed radically in terms of size and, physical training and all that stuff, But as far as Brady is concerned, I don't see anybody coming along, even Mahomes. Will he be around at the age of 43 winning titles? I seriously doubt it,
Well, the way he scrambled yesterday was, you saw that one, Tim, late in the game when he was running back 20, 30 yards. I mean, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah, and he kept throwing his side. He was intercepted twice yesterday. He could have easily been intercepted 4 or 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, we're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
I'm not sure about next Monday because it is a holiday, and, that means if the missus has the day off, that means that I have to be with her, and I look forward to that, but I'm not sure what's going on, so we'll put that on hold. Okay. Otherwise, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you so much, guys.
Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. Yep.
All
right, that's Mike Grenier, who is a sports journalist and a font of knowledge again, and I love the way he analyzes stuff. Tim, what's the final thought?
Go Tampa.
Don't what?
Put your money on Tampa. I hear they're going to win.
Well, I'll tell you what, they just missed winning the trifecta, didn't they? I mean, it's pretty impressive. And my wife has been calling them the Tampa Bay Patriots and New England South. So, I think we can go with that.
New England's TV ratings are better than Tampa, so
Well, I'll tell you, I have been and I'll always be a Patriots fan, and to have had to be able to watch this kind of accomplishment in the sports world. I mean, you know, we go back, we cover a lot of territory over the decades. And, I remember, I'm pretty sure Ted Williams was the first, baseball or the first sports idol that I became aware of, when I was a kid. And, you know, that led to a lot in baseball. And in football, it wasn't so much, or basketball, it was Bill Russell and the Celtics. But back then in baseball, it was Hank Aaron. It was Warren Spahn. It was the New York Yankees almost en masse. And for the Red Sox, it was Ted Williams. I mean, that was it. and what he did too, you know, is just transcendent. But, it's just, I don't even know how to describe it, Tim. It's just been great watching this guy over the last 20, 21 years.
Oh, certainly, yeah. You know, and to, you know, he wasn't the number one draft choice. There weren't great expectations when they drafted him. It was Tom who?
Yeah.
You know? And even just before he came, he became the starter. People were still like, okay, I guess he had a good training camp. And then he, you know, he took it and never let it go. So...
Well, and the story you told today, just, you know, that kind of puts a bow on the whole thing. It's just, it's just amazing the leadership qualities he's had and how he has ascended with what his talents are and has played beyond his talents because of his ethic and, his ability to see things and his ability to lead. It's just, it's incredible. And it's sports. Okay. Well, let's leave it at that. It's sports, but it's been fun, man. And, I love to watch Patrick Mahomes, and I hope that he's okay and can stay out of trouble. I think that's Brady's other greatest asset is he, and I'm knocking on wood as I say this, he's able to keep himself clean and get rid of the ball before he takes the big one.
Well, you know, he's also learned how to do that. We talked about it, you know, many times before. You know, basically rolling with the punches, he feels pressure. He simply just curls up and goes down. He doesn't let his body take the big hit. And so that helped him maintain. You know, he's had that one major injury that kept him out of the 2008 season. You know, and, you know, Bill was still able to rally the team to an 11-win season.
Yeah.
And so, but Tom has taken care of himself off-season.
You know, the other...
So, in-season. And for that, you know, he's lasted as long as he has.
The other thing is, Tim, we've talked about the pre-snap read and his ability to read defense and so on. It's no one can compare with that. No one else does that. Maybe Peyton Manning would be a really close second. But the other play that impressed me yesterday, and it's probably a meaningless play, but remember when the ball was snapped sort of high and he missed it?
Yeah.
What did he do? He didn't go back and pick it up and scramble and try to make a play?
No.
Third and long, he fell on it, so it's fourth down. It's fourth down.
He turned and ran right after it and fell on it.
Yeah.
Okay, as opposed to somebody named Newton, who, when there was a fumble in front of him, refused to dive on it.
Well, I remember that play.
But, you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, it just shows to Tom's level of commitment. But the other point, Sean, play that I don't think a lot of people caught is when the sideline was trying to change the play down on the goal line.
Yep.
And he went right towards the goal line going, no, no,
nope.
And he was holding up.
Five.
Going, no, same. He didn't want to change the play because he knew the play would work.
Yeah, yeah.
Even his mind has already played it out.
Well, the best coaching Arians has done, I think, is to let Tom Brady do his thing after all these years. So that's.
Oh, yeah. You know, and they went to the simplified offense. They went hard run, you know, and the dink and dunk passes. And they passed underneath the Kansas City defense, made them chase, you know, and that was the focus of their game, was simply to march it down the field.
All right, next time we'll have to talk spring training because it's coming up. Baseball season is supposed to start on time.
Yeah, they're on their way.
Yep. Tim, thank you so much, man. Great talking with you. And if we don't see you next Monday, it'll be the week after.
All righty.
Thank you, Coach. Say hey to Medium and be safe, brother.
I will do that. You also.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
All right, that's Tim Kearns, who is MSO's greatest overall analyst and our ambassador of goodwill. And I just miss having him here in the studio on these Monday nights. We've been doing this since, I think, 05 or 06. So we want to try to keep that going as long as we're able. And I'm at the front of the line for the next phase, I hope. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. I apologize for not getting Nick Kukuru on. I'll talk with him tomorrow, hopefully, and we'll get something recorded about KPN Sports. Nick, of course, the sports editor of the Gloucester Times. And again, the scores that I have so far, a new one, Archbishop Williams in hockey, Archbishop Williams 6, St. Mary's 4, that's boys hockey. Newburyport lost to Triton today 3-1. St. John's Prep beat BC High 4-2. In girls action, it was Newburyport 4, Medford/Malden 0, and Beverly/Danvers 3, Gloucester 2. Those are the scores that I have up. Oh, and one boys basketball score, Hamilton Wenham 62, Amesbury 50, as Hamilton Wenham improves to 7-2. That'll do it for me. I appreciate your listening. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. I'm Rick Moore, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and, of course, on behalf of Tim Kearns and Bill Newell, wishing you a very safe and healthy week. Be kind to one another, and for heaven's sakes, do the right thing. This is MSONewsSports.com.